You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
And now a constitutional battle with lovers, legal geniuses, and the towering characters on the U.S. Supreme Court. California's Proposition 8 was passed as Barack Obama made history by becoming the nation's first African-American president. The president's historic election coincided with a ban on gay marriage in the state of California. That was Proposition 8, passed with a campaign that claimed a homosexual agenda was trying to undermine children and morality. Chris Perry and Sandy Steyer had married each other in 2004. They were raising four sons together. In 2008, Prop 8 rocked their world.
What happens is you get a letter saying, "Dear Chris Perry and Sandra Steyer, we're letting you know you are no longer legally married. The marriage that was performed in San Francisco is invalid. And if you would like to have your filing fees returned to you, you may have them returned to you by check, or you can send them to charity or something along those lines." Just a form letter in the mail saying, "You thought you were married, but you're not."
The lawyers who challenged Prop 8 were two legends and legendary antagonists, David Boyce and Ted Olson. They fought each other in the bitter 2000 Bush v. Gore presidential election case. But they were on the same side in this equally historic case. The story of these lawyers and these plaintiffs is the subject of an award-winning new documentary, The Case Against 8. Ben Cotner and Ryan White produced and directed The Case Against 8. It was a story that they said had everything. Starting with the two attorneys.
They were called the odd couple by the press. They were seen as arch nemeses, at least politically, but little did people know they were actually very good friends, and they forged a very solid friendship during Bush v. Gore. And so the fact that they joined forces to take on Proposition 8 sort of turned the issue upside down and stripped party politics out of it and made it a real human rights social. And, you know, the only prominent Republican in favor of gay marriage probably at that time was Dick Cheney. And so I think Ted Olson deserves a lot of credit for the sea change that we've seen over the last 5 years, where it's pretty normal now for Republicans to come out in favor of gay marriage, and it's not really a party line issue anymore.
As a storyteller, did you worry that these lawyers would upstage the plaintiffs, who are Americans?
The initial hook to us was this idea of the odd couple of Ted and David coming together. But once we got there and we got to meet the plaintiffs, we realized that they were really the heart of the story, and their journey was, you know, very compelling to us, and that's what we wanted to share with people.
Did you think that they would win? Did they think that they would win?
They didn't know what they were signing up for. So, you know, we followed Paul and Jeff and Chris and Sandy and their families for 5 years, and I don't think – they definitely didn't realize it was going to take 5 years, and I don't think they realized that they were going to become the center of the firestorm the way they did. I think that they were confident in their legal counsel, but they were worried all the way up to the Supreme Court, as you would be if you were part of such an important lawsuit.
Well, you record in one of the rehearsals Ted Olson asking one of the plaintiffs, "So you got married to a man before, and you're a lesbian now, so you chose to be a lesbian, right?"
What if someone were to say, "Well, you've just chosen at one point in your life to be with a man, and now you've chosen at another point in your life to be with a woman. Couldn't you choose to be with a man again?"
When I met Chris and fell in love with her, it was actually the first time I could even identify with the phrase being in love. I felt that feeling of being completely taken over by my emotions in just such a life-shifting way that it's difficult to even explain. But something that I felt like, this is so big and powerful and wonderful. I can't ignore it, and I won't ignore it. And at 37 years old, I discovered something about myself that I hadn't known before. I feel like I can choose what to do with the information I've learned about myself, but I can't change who I am. I simply am who I am.
And that is a lesbian.
That is a lesbian.
And that was a total curveball too, because Chris and Sandy and Paul and Jeff didn't ever expect that there would be a trial. A trial was sort of the total curveball that Judge Walker threw in at the last second and sort of changed the course of this entire 5-year journey. And so suddenly Chris and Sandy and Paul and Jeff were going to have to go into a public trial and testify about their lives, be cross-examined about their lives. And as you saw in our film, that takes up a big portion of our film was their testimonies, because it was probably the most moving part of the entire journey for us.
How do you feel about being a plaintiff in a case trying to change the Constitution?
I think there are immediate, very real, and very desirable personal gains that I would experience, and of course, close family. But on a different level, you know, as a parent, you're always thinking about the other generation, the next generation because, well, for us, they're in our house. So I really do think about that generation and the possibility of having grandchildren someday and having them live in a world where they grow up and whoever they fall in love with, it's okay. Because they can be honored and they can be true to themselves and they can be accepted by society and protected by their government.
What did this case say about the law?
This case said basically that, you know, we as a society don't accept the idea that, you know, a majority can take away the rights of a minority. And Judge Walker's decision is incredibly moving. It's, you know, somewhere around 130 pages. Everyone should read it. It should be a part of every, you know, civics class in every high school. It's a really well-worded document of what it means and what discrimination is and why we as a society shouldn't allow that type of thing to happen.
And, you know, the propaganda that the Prop 8 supporters put out during the campaign back in 2008, among the things that they said in that propaganda, which helped to get Prop 8 passed, was if California goes this way, so goes the rest of the nation. In an odd way, in a way they would never have expected, they were right.
It's true. I mean, this was the first time a federal judge ever ruled a state ban as unconstitutional. And I think we've seen how many judges now. I mean, Ben and I premiered the film at Sundance in Utah. And a few weeks before that, a federal judge struck down their ban. Then our next film festival was South by Southwest in Texas. A few weeks before that, they struck down the ban.
Wow.
The same thing happened in Tennessee. The same thing has happened in countless states where we played our film now. Where now it's almost normal, even in the reddest of red states, that a judge is striking down the ban. So...
Are you riding a wave?
I mean, we'll see where that wave ends. A lot of people think in the next couple of years it'll make its way back to the Supreme Court and it won't continue having to go state by state. But there's definitely some sort of wave riding right now.
I think the one thing that we've taken away from this is in 2008, you know, we didn't expect Proposition 8 to pass. We assumed that it was inevitable that gay rights would come about, at least in our state. And now I think it isn't really appropriate to think that it's inevitable now. You know, there's still a lot of work. And a lot of the states where you can get married now, you actually can get fired for being gay still. So it's a fine balance between being, you know, celebratory of these great victories, but there's still a lot of work to do.
Sundance Prize-winning movie, The Case Against 8. Ben Cotner's filmmaker, Ryan White filmmaker, they produced and directed The Case Against 8. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you for having us.
The Case Against 8 comes out in theaters tomorrow. It airs on HBO on June 23rd.
The Takeaway is supported by Lumosity.com, the brain training program designed by neuroscientists and used by 50 million people, created to improve memory and attention. More at Lumosity.com.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.